hello there. Welcome to Hard to Say Goodbye. This is the disdain Game of Thrones podcast you can ever put your ears into. Definitely just confuse my two intros between All the Stupid Answers and Hard to Say Goodbye.
That's okay.
You're do you have an official Hard to Say Goodbye intro yet?
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Still workshopping it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
I wrote it down. Because this is the podcast where we're going to help you through one of the toughest times in your life. That's when your favorite TV show goes off the air. It's such a bummer. We know it. We've all been there. And you know what? We wanted to create a support system to help you get through it.
To help me help you help us.
Joining us today, Ms. Trisha Hershberger, how are you?
Hi, guys. I'm real good.
Thank you.
I'm excited to talk about Game of Thrones with you boys.
These are some good episodes. Today, if you're watching live, we're going to be talking about episodes 5 through 8.
Yeah.
But this episode's about
those first four episodes, which were real dogs. Am I right? I'm kidding.
You can go hear our reviews at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. DJ, yes. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm excited to talk about these. Are some of my, we did a watch along for the first two of these episodes today. And these are some of my favorite episodes, period.
They were really good. I was tickled. I had a great time. But today, like I said, we're talking about The Wolf and the Lion.
Yes.
Wolf and the Lion.
And here's your quickie synopsis that I found from IMDb.
Lay it on us, would you?
When King Robert learns that Daenerys and the Dothrakis are preparing for war, he decides to attack first. Ned is against the idea, saying that they should go slowly and learn more. But the king calls him a weakling and dismisses him. Don't think he called him a weakling. Dismisses him as the king's hand. Playing in the dungeons, Arya overhears two men plotting against her father. She tells him what she heard, and he decides the time has come for him to return to Winterfell. He delays his departure when he given the opportunity to speak to the last person his predecessor spoke to.
Yes.
Well, this is nice. A whore who gave Robert another illegitimate son. The delay is costly, however, and leads to a serious injury. Catelyn, meanwhile, takes Tyrion to his sister, Lysa.
Lysa. Yes.
Thank you. Who also happens to be the Jon Arryn's widow.
And crazy.
And insane.
What do they say in the show? Touched?
Yeah, she's touched. That's actually a good way to describe it, because she's not like crazy. There's definitely crazier characters in the show, but she's not doing all right.
She's been through a lot.
Yeah. Does any of that explain why she is the way she is? Because Jon Arryn just died.
Yeah, no, so she's definitely... I don't think that Jon Arryn's death is necessarily... I mean, I feel like that's the straw that broke the camel's back as far as Lysa's insanity.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we get to see later on a little bit of her background with Peter. She's a little touched.
You said she's a little different. We'll discuss it later, but you said she's different in the books.
Lysa?
Yeah. Or is that... Were you referring to somebody else?
No. Catelyn is a little bit different in her motivations, and there are certainly different moments with Lysa. Liza's still Lysa.
Gotcha. All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and she's still, and her situation with Robin is from the books as well?
I don't think Robin's as old.
Okay. Well, everybody else has been aged up, so why not him?
Yeah,
that was the one situation where the aging up made it creepier.
Makes it a little bit more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to talk about that during our book, our series versus book bonus episode.
Your summary did lead to a question I have.
Go for it.
If I may. So they say Arya hears two people plotting against her father. One of them is Varys. The other one is the guy that was working with Dany.
Illyrio.
Yes. And that was not one, two things. One, my interpretation wasn't that they were plotting against Ned. That's not how I understood the conversation. Two, what were they talking about? Because in the hindsight that we have 7 seasons later, I don't know what their plan is. Like, I don't know.
I was confused how they got the dragon skeleton in there, because there's no room in there, but that's what I was focusing on.
Did they put him down there and then build the doors? Like, what's the situation?
Yeah, did they kill it down there? Was it a baby and it grew up in there? I don't know. I was pretty much hung up on
I'm assuming that was the dragons that were lined the halls that don't any longer.
But we're assuming now, and we don't know.
It's dragon skulls from when the Targaryens were in charge.
Yeah.
That's what's down there.
But overall, no, we watched this episode. You guys missing out if you're not doing our live watch along. Watch this one and the following episode as well, and it was a treat.
Yes,
it was a blast. Seeing Ned get hurt really makes me upset. I'll tell you what. Hopefully that's okay in the next couple episodes. He gets a chance to rest. I'd appreciate that. But what do you think, Trisha? How was this episode for you, The Wolf and the Lion?
It was good. It's certainly, it's The Wolf and the Lion. So we're building tension between the Starks and the Lannisters and kind of seeing how that's going to play out. I don't feel like when you go through the first couple episodes, that's the war you think you're going to see necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you think like, oh man, the Lannisters are the bad guys and the Starks are the good guys. I've got it figured out. I don't think that we think 5 episodes in that we're going to be like, oh no, legit, they're going to go to war. Yeah. Like they're just all going to straight up murder each other and not care.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's where we're getting. And it's interesting during the rewatch now, seeing the puppet masters at play here.
Yeah.
Seeing Varys and Littlefinger and paying a lot more attention to what they say, because I feel like both the book and the series do this expertly, where Littlefinger and Varys are kind of set up almost to be brush-off characters. Like, I feel like the first time you read through, the first time you watch through, you're paying attention to what they say, but nowhere near the level that on a rewatch you're like, what did they mean by that?
No.
You know, like that's so, like, you brought up the conversation between Varys and Illyrio, and you're like, he had his hands in that too.
Yeah,
like,
seriously, but that's an honest question I have. What at this point is Varys's plan?
He's helping the kingdom. He's there for the realm.
Yeah, but like,
that's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's for the realm.
No, but see, I'm asking, like, what is he? So is he trying to get rid of everybody else so Danny can come in? Like, what's the
realm? you know what? That's a good question.
Yeah. He doesn't say it in this episode, but he says it in a couple episodes we'll talk about soon, that he is for the good of the realm, not to any house allegiance.
Yeah.
But as of right now, we don't know that. But that scene between him and Littlefinger, like you brought up, it's amazing. So and it's weird. Just like, if I was just overhearing this, I'd be like, maybe I should leave King's Landing. Just based on these two.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite scene in all of Game of Thrones.
It's amazing.
In all of the seasons, in all of everything, is that Peter Varys scene.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so good. Like, we talk about a lot, we've talked about when discussing Game of Thrones and the series, of what makes the series so good. And yes, we all love the gigantic battles, we love the dragons, we love the spectacle, but really what makes the series so good is those the small interplay between the characters and how expertly that's done. And this, between Peter and Varys, this above all else does it for me, is they are the two that are controlling everything. I mean, maybe with the exception of Bran time traveling theories, but really, Peter and Varys are controlling everything at this point. And every word they say,
poorly, by the way,
could mean different things.
They're controlling things
are
poorly.
Are they, though, for what their motivation is?
Especially in later episodes, there's certain like, hey, this is how this is going to go. And then people like Joffrey are erratic and you can't plan for and do things that's like, well, okay. I mean, they're still smart enough to make it work, but it's not really part of the plan per se.
No, but they adapt. The plan is, I think Varys's plan is to adapt and survive. I think that's always been his plan.
Yeah.
So I think he has his fingers in everything. He is in he puts himself in a position where no matter who comes out on top, he's still favorable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his game. I don't know that he's necessarily like, let's get the Targaryens back, or, you know, let's put the Starks up. He doesn't care who's in power. All he cares about is that he is okay.
Mm-hmm. See, that's not the impression I get. I get he really does care about, he's the one person trying to help people.
Currently, are you getting that? Or
yes. Well, I mean, not really when I was first watching it, but you as things. I mean, because you have a scene like this, so you know he's supporting Danny in some fashion because he's working with what's his face from across the sea. Although he is pretty straight up about like, oh yeah, you should kill Danny, and it's like, what are you doing? What's the plan?
Confusing.
But he wasn't telling Illyrio like, hey, she's going to be poisoned.
Yeah.
He may have been plotting the poison.
Yeah, that's a good
You know
point.
What I mean? Yeah. Like,
but I do think he unlike Peter wants to rule the world. I think Varys wants the world to be a better place. Mm. He's just shady.
Yeah, Varys. I mean, I feel like when Varys does what he does, it is mostly for the good of everyone.
Yeah.
Whereas Peter is for the good of himself, which in 100%. Traditional D&D terms is how you define good versus evil. Mm. Good is for the good of other people, and evil is for the good of oneself.
Mm. Interesting.
Interesting. So then Peter and Varys would be good versus evil, but I don't think it's that cut and dry.
No.
I think both of them are shady.
And Game of Thrones, shocking.
But speaking of relationships, I really dug the scene where you had Ned standing his ground, because like he's still like a lord and he has power, but seeing him stand his ground against Robert, his friend, he's still like, by at this point of watching it, because I'm trying to like keep my memory straight with just the beginning of the season and not like thinking ahead, he's still trying to like be his friend. Like, it's been months, and he's still trying to figure out what kind of king he is, and he's basically reached the breaking point where he's like, nah, we're not gonna murder a girl. We're not going to do that. And I really like the scene where you think for a second, you're like, oh, Ned's gonna leave? Cool, I'm on board with this. Yeah, go home.
Seriously,
go home.
Get out of here.
Yeah, like, please go. Please listen to somebody. But then he gets wrapped up into, like, the mystery of it all and trying to figure out who this kid is.
Ned has been in that exact position before with the Targaryen children, with Robert. Mm-hmm. So he's had that, like, nah, we're not gonna kill kids. Fast forward 17 years later in the series, and he's like, nope, still not on board with killing kids.
I don't think you understand that my opinion did not change about kid killing.
I don't know if you noticed, but I don't change a lot. Ned doesn't move a lot.
There's a couple scenes with Robert that in the next couple episodes that I'm excited to talk about as well. But he... it's weird to say he's one of my favorite characters, but he does...
Robert?
The actor, who I'm blanking on his name right now, but he does such a good job at selling this, like, he's... over, like, he's done, like, he doesn't care anymore, like, he's been put in a position where a lot of people take care of a lot of things around him. That doesn't excuse his poor behavior and him being not a good person, but, like, I appreciate how the actor chooses to bring this character to life, because I enjoy him.
Is this the I think it's next episode we get the Robert and Cersei scene?
I
think, especially on the rewatch, you realize that a majority of the adult characters on this show are just punishingly sad.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, literally nothing has worked out the way they want.
There's actually a comment here. Colin Barrow on Patreon asks writes, is Ned just too honorable and fair-minded to survive in King's Landing? He wouldn't agree to have the pregnant Daenerys assassinated, whereas the Lannisters had no such scruples when it comes to the Red Wedding getting ahead.
Well, I think when you later episodes, you get a sense of a better sense of the dichotomy between the North and the South, because the North can be pretty rowdy too, as we find out in a couple episodes later. But the duplicity, there's not a lot of duplicity up there. They're very simple folk up North. They're simple, hard bitten folk. You know what I mean?
Well, they're the ones that have to deal with the long winter first. So life is very serious up there.
Yeah. So whether he's too honorable or not, he's just not equipped for, and it's not that he's dumb either. He's actually a really smart guy. Mm-hmm. He's just not equipped for the duplicity.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not built for it. Yeah. It's just not his, because clearly, again, later episodes, you just realize, like, the last episode we're going to discuss in this little session, he makes all the decisions that make sense. His decision making makes sense. It's just wrong. And I'm not sure there is a right one. Like, you look at the options that are presented, it's like, I don't really know if there is a win. The win was to not go in the first place.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that what Ned's decisions are wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think that Ned, given the information, is making the best decision that he knows how to make at that time. Yep.
He makes one straight up boner decision.
What would that be?
When he talks to Cersei.
Oh, later. Not in this episode.
Okay. But later, straight up, just shouldn't have done that. But that's a later.
That'd be a grief
from me. Yeah.
Then he explains why he does that. I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit more in depth in the book comparison bonus episode, if you guys watch that. But his when he explains why that was his move, it totally makes sense.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, talking about what makes the show great is the decision making behind everybody. Aligns with their characters, makes sense, tracks, and sometimes it's just wrong. It's just the wrong decision.
Because I'm blanking a little bit right now, speaking of decision making on Ned's part, do you think it was as he's getting ready to leave, he stops off to talk to the last person John Aaron spoke to.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Because the finale of the episode doesn't work out too well for Ned's friends / guards, mainly guards, but you like him.
As he's coming out of the meeting, that's when we have his fight with Jaime, which was dope.
It was really good.
And the thing you have to understand about Ned's men being killed, these are families he grew up with in Winterfell. Yeah. These are people he's known his entire life. So it's not just like random guard A, B, and C. Yeah. It's like how Arya felt about the butcher's boy. Yeah. And like these are their family in a lot of sense.
Who's his buddy who doesn't come out of it with his eye?
They make a joke about it.
I want to say his name is Jory.
Jory, that sounds right. Yeah.
It's Dormund in the books, but I want to say Jory.
Yeah, so it doesn't. This fight doesn't work out for any of the Starks, definitely doesn't work out for him.
God, the whole reason they're down there is Ned.
No. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's got to be awful for him to think, I tore these people away from their families, brought them all the way down here, and now they're being slaughtered because Jaime's mad at me?
Yeah.
Oops.
And Boo Boo on Kat's part taking Tyrion, because that's why this happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In the long run, I don't know if it really alters how things go down.
Mm-hmm.
But in this moment, whoops.
That, on Catelyn's part?
Yeah, on Catelyn's part. Yeah. Whoops.
But Ned, is he aware? I mean, it's been months now, so he probably, maybe I've gotten a message, but is he...
Another great Ned moment, because
he sides with her immediately.
Yeah, Jamie rides in like, your wife took my brother, and Ned's like, oh, fuck, I told her to do that.
Yeah.
Because he's Ned, because he's a good dude. And honestly, he and Catelyn did have a lot of conversations about how they were going to proceed with Tyrion once Littlefinger told them it was Tyrion. So maybe they did make some kind of like, look, if you run into him,
take him.
Like, maybe they did. We don't know. That's not anything we saw. We don't know what their plan was as far as Tyrion. So
something else I love about this series, especially in the early going, is the subtle fantasy stuff. Because Tyrion is taken to Lysa's,
the Vale.
The Vale. Mm-hmm. And we're introduced... I don't think we're introduced to the Moon Door in this episode. But
we are introduced to his... Yeah, Sky Cells.
And it's just those little touches that aren't really of this world.
So
but
cool.
But they're nice. Like, it just gives you... It adds texture to the world that makes it fun. It's because the world is punishing, but this stuff makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The world building is amazing. And the Sky Cells are so terrifying.
We were talking about how a person would sleep in there, because I roll a lot in my sleep. And I'm like...
Yeah, no, you would die.
Oh, 100%.
Sam, you'd be dead.
I would try to like put my head towards the corner and then I was like, well, no, then I'd roll down to the middle and there's like a trough for pee or whatever to go out. And I was like, maybe I clean that out and put face down in
the pee trough
just so I can't roll anywhere. Yeah. I was trying to figure out a way. I'm like, no, I'd maybe make it a week and then accidentally fall asleep in the wrong spot.
Fall off.
Maybe starvation would make me slow me down from rolling. I don't know.
We're being joined by Catherine Richardson, who says hi.
Oh, thank you, Catherine. Supporting on Only Stupid Answers and Hard to Say Goodbye. You're so sweet. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we also, Bronn is with us as well, but we get a very cool scene with him in the next episode.
Yes.
And you get the beginnings of one of my favorite relationships or friendships on this show, which makes me excited. But I also, Bronn and Tyrion.
Oh, Bronn and Tyrion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do like the look of the Vale. I like the throne that's on the tree. Is the tree?
Yeah, it's a cool throne. Ooh. It's a very cool throne.
I'm definitely on board with that. We get more of the Sky Cell next episode. There's one final thing I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
Why do you think Ned was spared in that moment in the fight when he was stabbed in the back of the knee?
Because he matters and he's Robert's best friend. I think at this point, the only thing that's really saving Ned is his relationship to Robert for the most part.
At this point. Yeah. Yes, that's a very good point.
What do you think, Trisha? That kind of like why they don't just off Ned immediately.
They off everybody else.
Well, Jamie says it, I think, in the next episode we're going to talk about when he's talking to his father, Tywin. Mm-hmm. He gives an excuse for why he didn't off Ned. I think he says it in that episode. Maybe I'm thinking of something in the
books. I think you're at the right scene, but I think that's two episodes from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there is a moment where Jamie at least insinuates that he didn't want to kill him because he was already wounded and he wanted to like take him in a fair way. But, you know, because he was stabbed through the leg by one of his men, he was like, well, I can't do it now. Thanks. So that would have had to be in the series because that battle goes differently in the books, which again, we'll talk about in the book episode comparison. I think it has to do with the fact that it's Robert's best friend.
Yeah.
Even if the Lannisters know what's ahead as far as Robert's fate because they've plotted it, it hasn't happened yet. Things could go wrong.
Yeah,
I think he's playing it safe, and maybe the honor thing is just an excuse.
I think
he hates that people say he's dishonorable because he's the Kingslayer.
Yeah.
And so I think that deep down, he's like trying to like, okay, well, I'm not going to do anything else that would make people say that about me.
Yeah.
So I think he does care about that.
He did go pretty far, though, and he just didn't finish it. Like, he wounded...
Dad brings that up later.
Yeah, that's a great scene. That's one of the most unsettling scenes. Not even that it's like that disturbing. It's just a weird...
Yeah.
It's a weird choice and a bold decision, which makes me excited to talk about future episodes. But and I'm excited to move on to episode 6.
Yes.
But before we
Golden
do
Crown.
That,
yes.
We get Sir Loris and Renly's
thank you.
Relationship.
I had Iron Fist on the brain. I didn't know why. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
There you go. Uh-huh. He's so much better as Sir Loris. You don't think so?
I agree with you. No, I agree. I just don't think there's like, it's like, I'm like, I don't think it's that much.
I'm going to be honest.
He's very pretty with long hair. He's a very pretty boy.
He's a very pretty boy. And I think he makes a great Sir Loris.
I think it's one of those situations that sometimes you should let an actor just use their native accent, because I think sometimes if you're trying to act through an accent, you become a bit more stiff. And I think if they just let Danny Rand be British, because really there's no, his best friend in that is Australian for some reason or something, like he has an accent. You just let Danny have a British accent, and I think it'd be better, because I think sometimes even great actors, when they have to do the accent, it just doesn't work as well. Because I agree, I think he's better at Sir Loras.
I think
Sir
he's
Loras.
Better at Sir Loras, and I think that Sir Loras is a very interesting character, and we're only beginning to scratch the surface. Like, and when they say in the series that Sir Loras wins that joust initially against the mountain because he always rides a mare that's in heat to throw the other mare off.
Yeah, is that this episode? Is this the episode with the joust?
This is the episode with the joust.
Because that's where we get the mountain.
Where we get Clegane Bull round one.
Yeah, where he...
That's this episode.
He fucks up that horse.
Interesting. Because you think Sir Loras, such a wonderful knight, plays by the rules. He's not playing by the rules. Mm-mm. He's straight up cheating and doesn't care.
Yes.
Well, isn't that interesting? And then we find out that he's talking Renly into like, no, you be the king.
Yeah.
Sir Loras is making a play here pretty
hard.
Yeah,
he is. And we learn more about the Tyrells. And honestly, in hindsight, I think the Tyrells are one of my favorite families.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest with myself.
I'm excited for future seasons when we get to talk about that.
But yeah, I like the whole joust situation. I like one of my favorite bits in the fight with Clegane Bull round one is when the king is basically like, shut the fuck up, and the hound immediately takes a knee.
Even if it kills him.
Yeah, immediately takes a knee. And then it's a cool, because at this point, most of the audience hated the hound. And then you're introduced to the mountain, who's worse. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, maybe I don't hate the hound so much.
Because you get the child abuse fire story. Yeah. And then you're like, I feel kind of bad for him now. Yeah. Crap.
Yeah, it's I definitely squealed when the horse got halved, hamburger style. I was not...
Pretty
I
rough.
Didn't do... Yeah. Rough. I think that's a good way to describe it. I was not okay. But hey, don't worry. It only gets better from here, don't it?
Yes.
Other things I want to say that happened in this episode that I didn't realize. Tyrion's first kill.
Yes.
Happens in this episode.
I didn't even remember that this scene even happened at all. Like, it's not even in my brain.
They get attacked. Yeah. They get attacked, and Tyrion has his first kill. So that's kind of a big moment.
I thought a different person was his first kill, which is the end of a certain season, if you know what I'm talking about.
Nope.
Yeah, but that's a nope.
Because remember, they're like, oh, you're first? And he's like, yep. And then he's like, I should have a woman, and the only woman around is Catelyn. And he's like, nope.
No.
Shockingly, they don't like each other very much.
Yeah, it's a good moment. I don't know. I think that this is a really, really wonderful episode, in summation, a really wonderful episode, mainly to find out who knows what and who's planning what. Mm-hmm. Like, the entire time I'm asking myself, like, what are Peter's motivations? What are Varys's motivations? What are Ned's motivations? Like, Jaime at the end with that fight, is he actually doing this because he cares about his brother, or is he doing it for family honor? Like, what is his or he just hates Ned? What is his motivation? Like, we're trying to figure out the game here, and the game, at least at this point, is being played very well by multiple parties.
It's been very good. The next episode has another squeal moment that I'm honestly, I'm at the edge of my seat. I'm excited to talk about
and
it.
And actually, this episode is the one that has that Cersei Robert scene that you guys were thinking
about. Really?
So if you want to talk about it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my. Then that's my bad. I apologize. Yes, no, please.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
One of my favorite scenes, because you establish that, like, it's one of the situations where it's not really anybody's fault that it's so messed up, and it's kind of everybody's fault at the same time.
Where she finally asks about Lyanna.
Yeah, and it humanizes her a lot, and it humanizes Robert a lot, and you kind of see, and it's when he starts talking about dealing with the Dothraki that you realize, it's like in The Office when Michael Scott's meant to sell something, and you realize, like, oh, he was good at that. Mm-hmm. He's just not a good manager. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like Robert was a good soldier and a good warrior and a good leader of an army, but he's just a really awful king. He's just no good at that.
And a lot of people, when we were watching live, mentioned that this was not originally in the book. This is something added for the series. Is that correct?
That conversation between them? I do believe that conversation was added. Mm-hmm. And certainly Cersei's story. I know we talked about it a little bit before, from that scene where she came into Catelyn and said, I had a black-haired boy once. Mm-hmm. That Cersei background is completely fabricated for the series as well. Because she, in the books, gives a very different history. Which, again, we'll talk about in the scene when Ned confronts her and how that kind of all comes out there. Because that's where that story comes out.
Yeah.
Cersei's a lot more evil and a lot less likable at this time in the books. Then I think the series did a really nice job of making us feel a little bad for Cersei.
Yeah.
And I think that was smart of them.
Mm-hmm. It was an amazing scene, and it was one when we were doing the watch through. Mm-hmm. We were just silent because I was so enamored by their performances. It was a really cool moment, and like you said, like no, with Robert, it was a good moment where you got to see that, like again, like he is a person. Like yeah. he probably doesn't want to be here. He likes mm-hmm. some parts of it, but overall, he's clearly like abusing a lot of the stuff that he yeah. has access
he's
to.
Not,
so
he's not a good king.
Not a good king.
Yeah, mm-mm. Cool dude, probably just not a good king.
Mm-hmm. Lots happens in these episodes. Mm-hmm. Good TV. Yeah,
I'm surprised. A lot does happen. Like we were talking about, I think just before we went live, how, you know, everyone talks about in the later seasons that things are happening too fast. Yeah. I'm like, things happen pretty fast in this first season.
Just, and I think it's just, you gauge it different because they're obviously big battle moments like we talked about. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of that budget. But as far as like time, passing,
yeah,
especially in an episode we're going to discuss soon, you recontextualize it, you realize like, oh good lord, like 3 months must have passed during the time of this episode,
yeah,
because of your understanding of the layout of the continent, and like one character starts mm-hmm. in Winterfell and by the end of the episode is like halfway to King's Landing at that point, and it's like, oh geez. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah. Like this episode a lot. This is a favorite one of mine.
Agreed,
definitely. But I hope you guys enjoyed, and let us know what you thought on Patreon or on Twitter at Only Stupid Answers. But you can also follow Trisha at...
Oh, at That Girl Trish with no I in the girl.
There you go, DJ.
At That Girl Trish. No, at DJ Talks Trash.
There you
at
go.
At the place that matters. And Sam?
At Sam Basher. You can go to onlystupidanswers.com for everything else, like our schedule for when you guys can watch live with us
mm-hmm.
or get bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. But you can get all of these episodes, if you're listening to it, you already know this, but you can watch live with us for $15, or you can get the early access and send mm-hmm. us questions for $1. There's a lot of good deals. You don't want to miss out. But
don't
guys,
miss out, please.
And gals, we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But guys, we hope you enjoy this episode of Hard to Say Goodbye. Let us know what you thought on Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. But most importantly, check out patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. You can get these episodes a whole freaking month early, plus all of our bonus episodes where we compare the series to the books. You can do watch-alongs live with us. You can do Google Hangouts. Or if you're already supporting Only Stupid Answers on Patreon, check out that sweet-ass bridge tier, my dudes.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you get content from both patrons. That's all the goodies all in one.
So thank you for joining us, and please check out more at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye.
We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.